Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View. And if you know the theme song that was just playing, you are probably as old as I am. If you don't, you are probably on Occupy Wall Street. I keep on coming back to that no matter how much I try. Oh, you can email me at bruce@brucesalin.com. That's Bruce and Salin, S-A-L-L-A-N. That's S like in Sam's, Pastor Drew Sams, who is our regular guest for Teen Rap. Pastor Drew Sams has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California for the last 6 years, and he's also pursuing doctoral work through George Fox Seminary in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Drew and his wife Erica live in Westlake Village, California, and I believe Pastor Drew has some interesting news, ironically and wonderfully tied in today's topic of when to have kids. Welcome to the show, Pastor Drew.
Always a joy to be on. Thanks so much.
Well, you kind of hit me with your best shot, and you just got a big yippee out of me on the break. So why don't you share some of this news with our listeners?
Yeah, well, boy, the topic, when to have kids. My wife and I, we've been married for 5.5 years. We've been wanting to have kids as we've explored that and been trying for about 3.5 years. Didn't share this with you. A lot of people don't know, but in May of this year, my wife and I got the really tough news, as you can imagine, to find out that most likely she'll never be able to carry a child. So everything works in terms of, you know, I can give my half of the equation, she can give her half of the equation, but it just doesn't stick in the womb. It won't implant and grow. And so we found that out in May and then headed down the route of, you know, what could we do? Could we adopt? And so we started heading down that and started exploring that. In the midst of all that, in the midst of, you know, trying to explore options, we had some friends of ours who we've known for about 6 years. They're married. They have two of their own kids. We actually hadn't seen them in over a year. They live the next town over. And when they found out that my wife wouldn't be able to carry, they approached us and said, you know, we've actually been talking as a couple since the beginning of 2010. We had no idea they'd been talking about this, but they said, we'd love to help, and we'd love to carry your child if you guys would be up for it.
Okay, so explain what that means, because I am just sitting here grinning, and I am just so excited to hear all the details. Explain what that means, please.
Exactly. So the way the term is a gestational surrogate, and the phrase that she uses, she says, I'm the oven for your cake.
Beautiful.
And so basically, with the, you know, I mean, it's a huge decision to make. Obviously, we consulted our close friends and doctors and psychologists and lawyers, family.
So, in other words, a totally flipped decision.
Yeah, of course. And it took us about 4 months to really figure this out if we wanted to head down this road. And so, what we did was it's my sperm, my wife's egg. So it's 100% our biological child. It's 100% of our DNA. It will look like us. Everything comes from us, and that was implanted. The fertilized embryo was implanted in our friend in her womb, and it stuck. First time, amazing. The statistics of that are actually really low. So it stuck. We just wanted.
What is it, like 10 or 20% stick?
I think it's just above 20%. I think my wife knows the exact number. She's, you know, the accountant in the family. But what it is, chances are it wouldn't work, especially only putting in one. Many people will put two or three.
Which means you could have had multiples.
Could have, yes. So we put in one, stuck the first time. She's now 15 weeks along, which sounds odd to say that my wife's not pregnant, but we're going to have our child in April.
It is your child.
100% our child. It's amazing.
Have you found out the sex yet, or do you want to, or is that kind of against your religion, literally or figuratively?
Well, actually, we've made the decision that we will find out. Mm-hmm. We'll find out right before Thanksgiving. And
Bruce, if it's a boy.
There you go. I'll add that to the list of all my other friends saying,
well, it could be a very long name.
Yeah, there you go, hyphen. So, you know, there's certain things that we want to do to feel closer to the child along the way because, I mean, think about the psychology of this. Here we have our child to be born in April of 2012, and we don't have the day in, day out of seeing my wife go through the morning sickness and the, you know, all the aches and pains and the food cravings. And so there's certain things that we want to do to stay connected, to stay closer. So we are together with that couple often. We just took them dinner the other night, actually. And I guess they have these things called belly buds. Have you heard of these? They're like headphones.
That yes.
But they're, I guess, really high-tech now, and you can read children's books to your child even before they're born. So
this is such – you have no idea the timing of this, Pastor Drew, because I need to just bring something else up that I'm pretty sure you must be aware of. But in our community, in the last week or so, there have been three tragic deaths of young men.
Yes.
And two of them were suicides at their own hands. One was an accidental overdose that might have been prevented had the friends acted a little bit more grown up. But being teens, they were probably afraid, and they stood by, in essence, and watched the young man die of a drug overdose. The other two, sadly, took their own lives. And in the midst of this, I've been kind of comforting and helping my son, who in turn has actually been helping so many other kids at school because of his own training in basically dealing with problems and grief. And it's been a very hard week for me to deal with this. I haven't decided yet if I even want to write about it. I did another piece on suicide, which we talked about quite a bit, maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. But that was an adult situation, and it was equally tragic. And now to have such positive news and such good news, it's like I said to you on the break, it's God works in mysterious ways. If ever there was someone that was deserving to be a parent, it was you. And yet, for whatever reason, it wasn't happening easily. And now it is. And just like that, almost, it feels like to me, just like that. Of course, to you and your wife, it couldn't possibly feel like just like that. But I am just so heartened by this news.
Yeah, it's amazing, especially when we sit down with this couple over dinner. So this is now in May, a few weeks after finding out from the doctor that most likely she'll never be able to carry. She's missing a key protein that I guess they can't give her through any treatments or medicine. And this couple says, you know, we've actually been praying about this and talking about it as a couple for over a year. And I said, what do you mean? She says, well, I literally felt like in the beginning of 2010, I felt like God was saying, would you ever be open to helping Drew and Erica? Would you ever be open to carrying their child? And she said, what a weird thought that is. And so, I started praying about it and talking to my husband about it. And she thought, I didn't want to, you know, tell many people or tell you guys because, you know, I thought maybe you think that was weird. But the more we thought about it, the more we prayed about it, the more we felt like, gosh, we'd love to help. Every time we see our kids, they said, we just are reminded of the gift that they are, and we want to be able to share that with you guys. And so here, after all that, all those, as we say, 36 no's, with 3 years of you know, waiting each month to find out, is my wife pregnant? We've got 36 no's in a row. All of a sudden,
wow,
a yes comes from the most unlikely direction.
Well, I couldn't be more thrilled. I expect baby Bruce will be a wonderful young man, and we'll have to educate him in Judaism as well as Christianity.
Of course, of course.
Pastor Drew, where can my listeners find you, please?
Well, I'm blogging at wewillsinganewsong.com, and I know I just wanted to let you know that of the funeral, the memorial service that is happening this Saturday for that young man, I will actually be officiating that. I want to let you know that.
At the church?
At the church. It's this Saturday at 10 a.m. It's in the newspapers, and I've been working with that family, and it really is a huge loss.
Was that family members of your church?
They were not. There's a mutual connection, and they felt like that to be able to have it in a large place with so many students possibly showing up could be a good thing.
I am actually speaking at the Blog World at that time downtown, so I won't make it, but it's very possible my son will be there, and I'll have him come up and speak to you, Arnie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I can't make it. Is it going to be recorded?
You know, I don't know. I'll figure it out.
I would like to hear it, and it should be recorded for those that can't make it.
Sure. That happen.
We got to go. Thank you so much, and congratulations, Pastor Drew and Eric.
Thanks, Erica, Uncle Bruce.
We'll be back.
Thanks.
Bye. We'll be back with Jim Scheinberg for Family Financial Matters after these messages.
And that is when I knew there's a cat in the kettle at the Peking Moon. I think I got to stop eating there at noon. They say that it's beef or fish or pork, but it's purring there on my fork. There's a hairball on my fork.